And in the New Testament, we read from the first chapter of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 18. This is how Jesus Christ was born. A young woman named Mary was engaged to Joseph from King David's family. But before they were married, she learned that she was going to have a baby by God's Holy Spirit. Joseph was a good man and didn't want to embarrass Mary in front of everyone, so he decided to quietly call off the wedding. While Joseph was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, the baby that Mary will have is from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and marry her. Then, after her baby is born, name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet had said, "A virgin will have a baby boy, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us." After Joseph woke up, he and Mary were soon married, just as the Lord's angel had told him to do. But they did not sleep together before her baby was born. Then Joseph named him Jesus.
We join in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the reading of Scripture and the hearing of your word, and we give you this time and pray that what is spoken may ring with truth, may what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit, and may what is decided lead us all on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. It was much as I was saying last Sunday that the week would contain even more confusion and uncertainty. But we don't need to talk about Brexit anymore, not at least until January. About heart's desire, though, there is more to be said. In Advent, as the traditional Christmas story comes into view, the heart's desire of Joseph and Mary. Mary, the almost godlike figure to some, the centre of the nativity play to all of us, of course. What about Joseph? Growing up, I can't remember ever really wanting to play the part of Joseph. It was quite nice to stand there wearing a tea towel, looking serene, but you soon discovered that Joseph had got nothing to say. At least if you were playing the part of a king, you got to wear a shiny costume, and you might even get to sing a solo verse of "We Three Kings of Orient Are," you know, Balthazar, Melchior, Caspar, and all that. Maybe if you were a shepherd, you would get to boom out. I remember one year we did it as a chorus. There were about 10 of us. "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass." But Joseph is a sort of a bit part. He doesn't get to speak at all. Not like Mary. "May your word be to me be fulfilled," she gets to say. "My soul magnifies the Lord," she gets to sing. "Blessed are you among women," she gets to hear from Elizabeth. But no one is saying anything to Joseph. Joseph is not saying anything to show the depth of his faith. He's not singing anything to show the strength of his joy. He is, I suppose you would say, the archetypal strong, silent type. Ironic when you think about it. In a world in which men held all the power, not least over women's lives, in a gospel that traces the genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Abraham along the male line, in a story that puts male shepherds center stage, who said they were all men, by the way? In a story that puts wise men center stage, who said the Magi were men? You've probably heard the stories about schools that are banning the use of the words wise men. In a story whose main character is a boy, whose mother is a model obedient woman, Joseph the man, Joseph the proud father, Joseph the son of David, says nothing to indicate who he is or what he makes of it all, or to reveal his heart's desire. In the 21st century, we are increasingly aware of the unheard, suppressed voices of history. Women, like Mozart's sister Maria, by all accounts, a top-drawer musician and composer, but none of her music has survived. Like Rosalind Franklin, Crick and Watson's Nobel Prize for the DNA double helix theory wouldn't have been possible without her research. Many others. And men too? Bound to be. Men who did something special but were never recognized for it. Men who just got on quietly behind the scenes without making a song and dance. Bound to be. Not to think of any particular men. Not to try and claim back ground for men in days when, rightly, women's issues are to the fore, but to think of all the forgotten people of history who lie in unmarked graves, who are hidden behind the history of the great and good, the unknown soldiers, the hard-working family men, the mothers trying to feed their children. Do you remember that film of the 1960s, The Magnificent Seven? Seven gunslingers hired to defend a Mexican village against the marauding gang of bandits. And in one of the scenes, one of the village boys is admiring one of the Magnificent Seven's six-shooter prowess as he practices and gets ready for the coming battle. And the boy says to him, "We are ashamed of our village. Our fathers are cowards." The Magnificent Seven character, played by Charles Bronson, replies, "Don't you ever say that again about your fathers. You think I'm brave because I carry a gun? Your fathers are much braver because they carry responsibility. Nobody says they have to do this. They do it because they love you, because they want to. I have never had this kind of courage. This is bravery." The unknown, unsung, silent ones of the world. men and women, tilling the world's fields, building the world's buildings, toiling in the world's factories, sweeping the world's streets, sleeping rough under the world's archways, tossing and turning with the stress of holding down a job, clinging to a dinghy in the Channel or to life in a hospital in Syria or the Yemen. Trying to make ends meet in a small business unit in Eastern or Ostend, or trying to hold it all together while the bombs rain down in Idlib or Hodeidah. Wherever they are, whoever they are, men or women, they are of the great tide of humanity whose voices are never heard, but whose heart's desire for the right, for decency, for peaceableness, for a better world, is the heart's desire of Advent. Joseph stands for them all, stands by Mary, stands silently, and does what has to be done, honours his commitment, bears the gossip and rumour mills of his world, suffers in silence, we might say, and still stands. And why? Because of the angel's message, that's why. Four times in the Nativity stories, to Zechariah, the shepherds, to Mary, and, how easily you miss it, to Joseph, an angel's message. We can't be doing with angels these days, all wings and smiles and golden hair and bare feet. Don't expect to see many such things, though there are plenty of websites dedicated to guardian angels. But mostly today, angels are just part of the Disneyfied Christmas we get out once a year with a Frozen DVD and a Mary Poppins remake. We have got used to, on a screen, anything being made to happen, while in the real world, we don't expect much to happen at all out of the ordinary. And we can put Christmas away again until the following year. But in the real world of the first century in Palestine, something happened. Stories tell us. They are suffused with mystery and wonder. But most of all, they ring true because they show ordinary people touched by the extraordinary. Mary, Zechariah and Elizabeth, the shepherds, Joseph. An angel's message. Take this from the angel's message, if nothing else. Do not be afraid. In all four of them, I think. It's what we need to hear this Advent. Fear breeds in an atmosphere of uncertainty around Brexit or anything else. Fear runs around the world. It paralyzes. It drives people to silence. It divides communities. It limits vision. It shackles us to dull routine. It stalks many lives in a dark world. Fear in Advent. Darkness in Advent, certainly. Hope in Advent, hopefully. But hope that must come from outside and beyond our fear-driven, fear-bound, fear-frozen world. Or else it is not hope, it is only unrealistic optimism. But as Joseph stands, as Mary follows her heart in Advent, in all their ordinariness, standing for all the forgotten, silent, unsung people of the world, hope rises in their hearts. It comes from outside. An angel's message, echoing with the ancient promise of the psalm. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. It assures them and us that whatever is happening, whatever has happened, love rules. And the God of love who has made everything is coming to set his love in the earth in Christ. He is our heart's desire. Do not be afraid.